You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, who's been out on a field trip, I would say, selflessly going to America to find out what's really going on. And he's with us now. David, what is really going on? Is there a mood? Is there a change of mood since you were last there?
You know what was interesting? The reason I actually went was for my granddaughter's graduation. She graduated high school, and they make a big fuss.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I went there. But I have to say this first, because we'll get on to America after. You know what struck me? The difference between being in America. Number one, everything operates, you know, I mean, is well-oiled and operates well. Mm. She's up in Boston. But was that when you talk to the kids, first of all, they're all going to different colleges or universities. But when you talk to them, they're full of kind of hope, opportunity, aspirations.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a difference from here. When you come back here, you know, all the kids are looking to try to go overseas. You know, my kid's going to St. John's. You know, he needs 6 distinctions so he can get into this university to go overseas. You know, their eyes or their, you know, their visions are all outside of South Africa, not inside South Africa. Mm.
That's very sad, actually, isn't it?
It is sad. I say it with sadness. And, you know, there was a chap I ran into who, I don't want to mention it, but he's well known in the gold industry. And, you know, he said his son was trying to do an exchange program. You know, he was trying to get into MIT and so on. And he had, I think he was accepted for an exchange program, very excited, you know. But that's the kind of view. They want that higher education. But I think their view is always, you know, with an eye of setting up in America. And that's, if you look at America, I think that's what really gives it an advantage over all other countries, that it attracts the best talent from around the world, you know, of people who go to these universities and make a go of it.
There is one person who's trying to stop that, though, David, and his name is his name is Trump. We'll get to him later on.
Stupid.
It's one of the stupid things. Carry on with your education
story.
I'm
just saying, I spoke to you know, a man that I'm very friendly with over there. He's friends of my daughter, and you know, he's in the history department, economic history department, etc. And he was cursing. He says they're taking away all my students. And they're taking away all my funding. You know, I don't know whether he's a professor, associate professor, but a very knowledgeable man. Learn a lot from him on a lot of historical subjects, you know, related to history and that. And he said, you know, he says, they're taking away my students, they're taking away my funding. Mm. And you know, it applies to a lot of people in Boston, because many of them are associated. In his case, it's on it's in economics or economic history, whereas in other people, it's much more in the medical field. So it is stupid. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, it'll be turned over in 3.5 years' time. Yeah. David, otherwise, what is the general mood of – well, yeah, again, I always say this. You're in your areas that you visit where your family have settled – is not representative of the United States of America. It's far more liberal, far more forward-thinking and open-minded. But what is the mood there about what's going on in America politically?
If I had to sum it up in a sound, it's disappointment in the Democrats.
Mm.
You know, I think nobody likes Trump. He's got no support, but on the other hand, the Democrats are all over their place, and there's no person who's standing up and making a strong stand. And I must say, they don't want a left-leaning person, very left-leaning.
They want a center-left, do they?
They want center-left, yeah, and that's where they've always been. And funny enough, New York is much more center-left.
Yeah.
Boston has been extreme left. So it depends where you are, you know, but I think there's a lot of disappointment with the Democrats, and no one's coming into the front. No one's rising there. You know, they talk about Adam Schiff in California and that, but I don't know if he's got the following. I don't know enough to do it, but there's no one standing up strong enough. Andrew Cuomo will probably get the mayor. You know, he'd become the mayor of New York,
yeah.
Even though he had to step down as the governor of of New York a few years ago, but he's the only person who seems to be standing up and making a noise. But,
and he looks like a president, doesn't he? He's got a sort of a presidential look about him traditionally.
He's confident.
Yeah.
He speaks well, and I think he'll be good. He's got this harassment case
he's got the dirty laundry to wash, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, and much of it is exactly what America is, what everybody's against. You know, who knows how bad he was or what he did. But I mean, you know, that still kind of can put an end to your career because you might flirt with someone in a pub, who takes it the wrong way. Been there, but I'm not taking it the wrong way. But you know how you get after two beers or something. So
yes, mine is maybe more than two beers. You're a two beer man because you run every day. I know what you mean. Of course you do. You become bawdy and then you're stupid.
Brad, you think you're Brad Pitt, anyway, but so I say that tongue in cheek, but I'm saying that's. Unfortunately, it's something that I think there's a lot of build up against the Democrats for this and the left leaning people who just cancel you for nothing, whatever. And so I think if I could summarize it, that was the thing that stuck me. So, okay, what are you going to do to stand up against Trump? Who's going to get the Democrats, together again, make them into a party which is more or less center left? Stop him in his tracks, which no one can do at the moment. He can do what he likes.
Exactly. Well, this is what surprised me, David. And you said it very simply. You said everybody hates Trump. But on the other hand, you and I had messages over the weekend, and I said to you, who's right, the markets or Trump? In other words, the markets, the weekend markets, were under heavy pressure, and suddenly I'm looking at my screen and the S&P is up 0.33%, and the oil price is actually down, despite the fact that people are saying that there's a threat to the Straits of Hormuz, which is, of course, terribly important for 20% of the world's oil flow every day. But, David, you didn't support him, but you weren't particularly critical of the bombing of the nuclear plants. Is that because you're Jewish?
Not necessarily, but I think that has a large part to do with it. You know, simply because from 1979, the Iranians have had two things in mind. First, Israel, and then America.
Yeah.
And, they've been promoters of terrorism. I don't think I'm telling you anything new, and I don't, this is wherever it's been, whether it's been in Syria, whether it's been in Iran, in Lebanon, whether it's been in Palestine, wherever it is, all the proxies there have been sponsored by Iran. They do their dirty work, the Houthis, whoever it is. And someone had to take out Iran. The last thing you want is for them to have an atomic bomb.
Yes, of course.
Do they have an atomic bomb?
We don't know.
You don't want to know, and nor do you want to find out when it's been dropped.
No, you don't want to do that. But on the other hand, it's the same situation as the weapons of mass destruction story and the Iraq debacle. And I do think that you have the IAEA that should be allowed to go in, and if they are refused to admittance to these facilities, then you can say yes, it's justifiable. But the process hasn't been allowed to play out, and also the negotiation process that was happening at weekends between Iran and the United States has also stopped, and that's stopped because of Israel and Iran being at each other's throats, and also suddenly the Americans bombing the place. So I don't know. Do you think that they're close because they've been close for so long? Every single year, Netanyahu, who's becoming more and more of a dictator every day, says they're only a couple of years away from the nuclear facility that they need, i.e. a bomb. So let's bomb them and let's get rid of this.
I'm not against that. I promise you. And you know what's interesting?
Go on.
I said, no one's come to the assistance of the Iranians. The Chinese don't want to, they're all coming out with rhetoric. And Russia's coming out with rhetoric and everyone comes out. But no one wants to support them. I don't think anybody's really sad to see them go, other than maybe a couple of nations who were sponsored by them, you know, who took money from them and who did some of their dirty work. And let's see if South Africa takes America to the ICC, you know, without Iran to sponsor it. So, you know, that's what are they going, you know, from that point of view, I don't think it's a bad thing that you get a nation like this out the way. How it's going to play out, Lindsay, nobody knows. And I think that's where you're coming in. That's where perhaps the fear lies. It's all very well to do what they're doing, but what happens to Iran off this? I don't think America, they learn from Iraq. They're certainly not going to go in there. They're not going to go into Afghanistan with feet on the ground. This is what they're going to do to stop their, you know, weaponizing, you know, or building a nuclear weapon. I think maybe they'll stop there. Where it goes to from here, I think that's the big discussion at the moment. And I don't think anybody's come out with a solution. You know, it's, well, we've got to find out what happens to Iran.
Yeah, but, it's interesting one. It's not Iran as a nation, Iran as a nation. It is the administration of Iran. It's the regime, so-called. Yes. So if Ayatollah Khamenei gets ousted, there'll be two things. There'll be a civil war, of course, there will be, because there'll be some people that have got cushy jobs, cushy positions in the regime that will want to hold on to those things, and so they'll fight. But I think the majority of Iranians would throw up their hands in delight. I mean, you see these huge protests against America and Israel. I mean, you know, a couple of hundred thousand people getting together. But are they there really because they believe that, or are they there because they're paid, or rather coerced into it? I don't know, David. I think it would fall apart, just like in Russia as well.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the danger. Unless you have a regime who can come in and take over the administration, yes, it can get chaotic, as you saw in Iraq and certainly in Afghanistan.
Mm.
It's such a difficult area. I mean, I don't know whether we're ever going to get peace in the Middle East. You know, the thing is that if you go back in history, and I mean seriously history, you want to know how many Jewish communities there were in Baghdad, in Tehran, especially in Persia.
Yes.
I mean, there were thriving populations. I think it all came, you know, after the Palestinian debacle, that not only, you know, once Israel claimed, I mean, Israel was established, and there's a whole history around that. You know, the Jews all were kicked out of wherever, you know, out of Baghdad, out of Iraq, out of all the countries, Jordan, Lebanon, whatever it is. You know, in the same way as that they were, you know, the Palestinians fled, so did the Jews. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews that fled as well. But I mean, if you go back to the history, you know, there were thriving populations. If you go and read about the Sassoons, not our Sassoons from the Sassoon, but I mean, the other Sassoon and what's the other family? Who made huge amount? You know, who
the only Sassoons that everyone in England knew growing up was the hairdressing people.
Yeah,
they sold a lot of shampoos. Yeah,
but there's a massive Sassoon family we're in. You know how they made their money was in the opium trade in China and that. But there were far greater areas. There was a whole book. I can't remember the second family, but there were two families.
Yeah.
It was who still exists. But I'm saying. It was a very, you know, it was a thriving communities there. Anyway, that's something of, you know, of the past.
So you're talking about I don't know where you've gone with this, because you were talking about countries having thriving Jewish communities, and obviously Iran would never have that now. But what was your point trying to make?
The point I made is that, you know, in the past. There were communities there. You know, there were, it wasn't, Israel, you know, there were thriving there were thriving Jewish communities in all of those areas.
Yes.
As well. It wasn't that they all came from Germany and kicked the Palestinians out. That's the kind of point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
You know, that it wasn't, throughout history, There have been, you know, Jewish presence in the Middle East in all those areas as well.
Of course, and happy to, and coexisting with with their hosts.
Yes.
Talking about that, David. Again, we're going off at tangents here. I blame you this week. have you seen a program on the BBC called The Settlers? It's hosted by a very good chap. It's Louis Theroux, about the Jewish settlers in the West Bank and everything. It's an hour-long program. Goodness me, I had no idea what was going on there. It's scary.
No,
it's
know.
Very skewed I, against I'm the not, settlers, I, but it's yeah. a great program.
No, it's something that I have not endorsed.
Mm.
That's out of it. This is something Netanyahu is responsible for. And, from that point of view, I don't believe in, that they're just causing trouble as a result of that. And there are a lot of zealots, and very religious people that have gone there and set up settlements.
Yes.
But I've always been in favor never been in favor of that, of expanding into those areas, into the Western, on the Western Bank. So it is a dangerous area, but... you want to pick a fight? Not with me, honestly. You want to go to Israel or at the supper table? When you talk about Trump and the Democrats, you want to talk about those kind of issues in Israel as well. Very, very fiery issues that no one's got an answer for. But, I've long sought peace there and long wanted peace. And I have many relations there, in Israel and that who just want to have a peaceful existence without having to go down to shelters all the time. That's all I want to do.
You were a young man in 1967 when the war occurred and everything was started to get really quite tetchy. And you'll never have peace in your lifetime, David, I'm afraid.
No.
Not unless you find some miracle cure to live until you're 120 or 150. You will never see peace in that area of the Middle East, unfortunately.
No. It'll take a breather. Even the current situation, they'll never eliminate it completely. They'll postpone it, if that's the right word.
Mm.
And it will arise again for whatever reason. I don't know. There is this absolute desire to obliterate Israel from the right wingers, from people in Islam.
The right wingers dominate Israel as well and their policy. So it's not uncommon.
Lebanon was never like that. Lebanon was never like that. The Riviera of the Middle East?
Yeah, look at Beirut. Beirut was like the Paris of the Middle East. It was extraordinary. All right, let's move on to the reaction of the markets. Complete indifference. As I said, markets up slightly, having been down a bit on the opening at midnight midnight tonight. Mm-hmm. And the oil price at one stage was up 4%. And you could see it was battling and it was going to fizzle out. Yeah. And it fizzled out and then some, because it's down about 1 2/3% at the moment. So nobody cares, David. They're just getting on with it.
I think we've become immune to it, to the possibility this will blow over.
Mm.
And as long as the oil price doesn't double, and I think if Iran starts fiddling around in the Straits of Hormuz, what's it?
Hormuz.
But there'll be, from that point of view, there's a view that the Americans will come in and sink their navy. But there's also they'll be offending the Chinese, because a lot of the Chinese oil goes through those areas. So about 20% of world oil gets shipped through that. So I think there will be a response from anybody who, certainly from the Chinese. I'm not sure the Russians don't need it, but through other of their clients. So at this stage, nothing's been said. I know Iran has been saying a lot. So oil prices come down with. Lindsay was 5-10% higher today, I think.
Yeah, well, it's about 4-5% on the opening, very, very thin trade, and then people came in and whacked it. So
if I look at the markets now, the S&P is above 6,000 again.
Yes,
it's up more than a half, and Nasdaq up 0.6%. So it's you know, people just carrying on. I think the next story, you know, we're moving on after this episode, is going to be Mr. Powell, who talks tomorrow. Mr. Too Late.
Powell. Oh, yes. He's dumb. He called him dumb as well, again. He called him dumb. Dumb and stupid, which is very disrespectful.
This is a man, you know, of high quality. He's really a dignified person who I think has done well. Yes, he made his mistake, his transitory mistake, but that can happen. No one understood the post-COVID economy. And he's corrected himself, and he's doing the right thing now. There's a lot of uncertainty. So we'll hear him for the next 2 days. Mm. But I think that they're ready. You know, the slowdown will start coming in the U.S., and he'll have to set that aside and look at the growth rather than inflation and make a decision. And I think that's going to be the next move that we see. But, Lindsay, what I do want to say as well, before we run out of time as well, is that your AI story is in, I don't want to say in its infancy, but it's really in the very early stages of its life.
Oh, there's very much so.
So much happening there as well.
And, is it affecting your daily life, David?
No. Is it affecting it in a positive way? Yes.
How?
In the sense that in my small way, in my small life, you know, I mean, I'm not a researcher, I'm not in medicine, I'm not in any of those areas, I'm not building factories or anything like that. But when I need to find information, and I use Copilot or whatever it is, any queries I have, I can't believe the amount of time that I'm saved.
Oh, you know, good.
And it's and I really mean that. You've got to know what you're looking for, and you can't be fooled, because sometimes you can get a lot of false information. Mm-hmm. So you've got to say, that doesn't sound right. Let me check it. But I think it's you know, in that kind of sense, in even making bookings, you know, whatever it is, the amount of time that it saves you in coming to a decision is quite remarkable.
So what you're getting is information that you could have got before, but you're getting it quicker.
Much quicker, okay. Much quicker.
But same, you know, information.
Same information. Not only that, I don't have to download and then get something and kind of then cut and paste and summarize. It just does it for you straight away.
That is good.
So
another benefit is on WhatsApp, you get these fantastic videos of Donald Trump and Putin.
And you're
walking hand in
hand.
There's some incredible stuff that people do.
Now.
Yeah, it's fun. To me, it's fun. Yeah, but don't repost it in case someone comes and gets you. Yes.
But I think it's going to be the power side. It's going to be the semiconductor side, the software side. I think all of these are – and the amount of money that's going in is just quite remarkable. So you're not going to stop – that's going to be the driving force, you know, of markets. And, you know, and that's where I think Europe can't catch up. You know, it's just far, far behind. All these views of a resurgence of Europe or even in the UK, I don't think they can match America. And that's what we said with universities, because America will attract the very best type of scientists that are going to come in, or you know, whoever, people or software engineers, whatever it is. So they will continue to lead.
What if the talent stops coming into America because people can't get in? So they go to Europe. They go to Cambridge, Oxford, University College London, King's College London, London School of Economics, that sort of thing. Maybe the pendulum will turn. Turn. The wheel will turn.
I don't think it's going to take a long time, Amanda. And I think that Trump will get bored with this and move on, you know. So
I was going to say to you about Trump, because you said in your message to me that Trump's got balls, and he hasn't. I'm sorry. The reason that he's doing all this, anything to do with any foreign policy, is driven by one thing, and that is his desire to get the Nobel Peace Prize, because Obama got it, and it's eating away at him. So he thinks he's going to stop the war, the nonsense that Iran has caused for decades and decades. He's going to stop it by bombing these three facilities, and they're going to say, here's the prize. If they gave him the prize...
Doing that. Yeah. That's complete opposite.
Exactly. I sent a message out saying, I'm no expert, but saving lives, not killing people, is a prerequisite for the Nobel Peace Prize, Mr. Trump.
No, he's not going to get that.
No.
I think he could put that away. But I mean, it's. I think that's going to give us these markets are going to continue, and I think we're almost breaking through into a kind of into almost a new trend, upward trend in those tech stocks. I know we wanted to write them off and buy cigarette companies and booze companies and banks and retailers and that, but I still think it's going to be a AI theme driven market.
Yes. There's two stocks in Europe. I mean, we always talk about the Nvidias, etc. That you're still long of, I hope, and doing well out of it. But there's two stocks that have really caught my eye over a long time. And the first one, of course, is ASML. You have to have that in your portfolio, or you have had to have it in your portfolio. Anything with the pricing power and a monopoly, you've got to have. The other one, of course, and I don't know how long it can last. It was obvious 2 years ago that this thing was going to take off, is Rheinmetall, the arms manufacturer in Germany. Have you seen what that's done?
God.
Oh, no. It's scary.
No, that's up 182% this year.
Yeah.
No, ASML, I think, in fact, the Netherlands or Holland is the one area of Europe that kind of, what's it, emulates or...
Silicon Valley,
looks like the US, yeah.
Exactly.
And there are a number of smaller companies there as well that came out of not ASML, that came out of Philips, many years ago, that are still very good in that area.
Yeah.
And it's the one area you can look to for those kind of businesses. So, yeah, I'm still in ASML. I still like ASML. And Rheinmetall, geez, just keeps going.
For all the wrong reasons, of course. David, so we've got a football season coming up. By the way, I haven't watched any of those World Club Cup games in being hosted in America, even though, the Man Cities, Chelsea's, etc. are playing. I haven't watched one game, thank goodness. Have you watched any?
I didn't even know it was on.
But you've just been in America. It started when you arrived.
I know.
You haven't watched a game either, no?
It was I don't know. Everybody was watching, it's either baseball or at the stage, the finals.
The NBA,
basketball, that's
great.
Really attention.
Yeah.
People did ask where they could get tickets for the World Cup, but it hasn't been popularized.
No.
And I don't know. American TV is something else.
And then when they get back, they'll get a long weekend off and have to start training for the new season, which starts in August, the Premiership.
Yeah, I know. August the 17th.
Is it? Oh, God.
Yeah. And then here we go again. Oh, no.
6 weeks to go. Okay, David, welcome back. Thank you all very much. We'll speak again on Thursday with Viv Govender. David Shapiro is from Sassam Securities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.